Scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through 38. Follow along with me. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish, along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn into, they were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground.
Thank you, Carol. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray for this morning's message, shall we? Father, we thank you. We are excited to listen to your word being preached this morning. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement. Thank you for the things that we can glean from your word. We thank you for our pastor who has studied this passage this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work through him, Father. Give him the words to speak so that we might understand and apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We are in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you can take your Bibles and turn there. Romans chapter 8. This Sunday we're going to be looking at verses 35, 36, and 37. Now, as you remember from last week, we talked about the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. We talked about Jesus Christ not judging you guilty. We talked about Jesus Christ will not forget the sacrifice for sin that he made for you. We talked about Jesus Christ will not forget the victory over death because of his resurrection. We talked about Jesus Christ, he will not be powerless to help you, because he is at the right hand of God. And we talked about Jesus Christ will not forget his job and take a day off from being your high priest, because he will always work to intercede for you. There's a man who had a new puppy, and he saw the puppy from the back door. He saw the puppy run out towards the back fence, saw the puppy jump over the back fence and continue running. The man was terrified. His puppy just ran away, and he saw where he went. So the man opened the back door, started running out, didn't realize the patch of ice that he was stepping upon. He did a spin like a famous ballerina and then fell down on his ankle and twisted it. His focus was on the dog and not on his back steps. Sometimes our focus gets off. And one of the things that our focus focuses on are hardships. Those problems going on in your life, the difficulties you may find yourself in, the problems at work, the problems at home, the problems you have in your own head, and you need to get your focus back on the right thing. Now, today is going to help you out because we're going to tell you what to focus on, what to keep your mind set on, what to keep your heart set on, what to keep focused during a difficult time in your life, which, by the way, you'll experience this week. Here you go. Verse 35. Actually, we need to start back before that. Since you are experts in the book of Romans, let's cover the book of Romans real quick. Turn back to chapter 5. Chapter 5. The first question we're going to answer is, what is the purpose of the life of the believer? What is it that you're supposed to be doing this week? What is the thing you're supposed to be doing as a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ? What do you need to be doing? Well, good question. Let's ask the question. Let's look at verse 17 in chapter 5. Notice what verse 17 says. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Okay, first thing there. If you receive grace, then, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave grace so that you could do... Okay, you didn't get it. Here we go, verse 17. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, let's make sure you understand that verse. You, if you have experienced grace, the reason you have experienced grace is so that you can produce righteousness. Your goal this week is not to avoid sin, but to do righteousness. By the way, the thing that will keep you from doing righteousness is sin. So you are in a battle this week because you still have your sin nature. You have your sin nature and you have your new nature. Your new nature says to do the righteous thing. Your old nature says to do the sinful thing. And that is your battle. Your job this week is to do the righteous thing. Okay, you don't look like you believe me at all. Here we go. Chapter 5, verse 21. Verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness, which leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here you go. If you want to go to eternal life, to heaven, what you have to experience is grace. How do I know you experience grace? It's because this week you will try to do the righteous thing, and you will do the righteous thing more than the sinful thing. And that righteous thing, you will show proof that you are headed towards a place called heaven. Oh, you still don't look like you believe me. Here we go. Chapter 6. I got more of these people, okay? Chapter 6, verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You know what that is? That's sin. Unrighteousness. Sin. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. If you're alive, you're to do something this week, righteousness. And your members as instruments of righteousness of God. You, if you are alive, and the way you make yourself alive is by being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, you are alive. And if you are alive, you are to do the righteous thing this week, not the sinful thing. Oh my goodness, you still don't look like you believe me. Chapter 6, verse 16. I have more of these. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? If you do not obey the Holy Spirit and you do righteousness, you are considered dead and therefore will do the sinful thing. You will not do the righteous thing. This week, you're to do the righteous thing. You have been saved by grace so you could do the righteous thing. You are not a slave to sin because sin would make you dead, but you're alive because of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you should do the righteous thing. Okay, still don't look like you believe me. Verse 18, chapter 6. Having been freed from sin, you have to be freed from sin. How do you do that? By grace. You become slaves of righteousness. If you're a slave to righteousness, guess what's the only thing you can do this week? Righteousness. The only thing you have to do is obey your master and do the righteous thing. You do the righteous thing. You, this week, are to do the righteous thing. Oh my goodness. Verse 19. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. By the way, you try to be good and getting your way to heaven, you do lawless things and you will produce more lawless things. And therefore, at the great white throne, you'll show yourself to God and He will show Him all the lawless things you've done for your 70 years of life on earth. And He will send you to a place called the Lake of Fire. But, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You present yourself to righteousness. Your goal this week is righteousness. Why? So you can be more holy than you were last week. You want to do more righteous things so you can have an impact on your community because you are being sanctified. But wait. You have one problem. One problem. You have one problem. Go back to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You got one problem trying to do the righteous thing this week. One problem. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. But to those who are selfish, ambitious, and do not obey the truth, but obey, what's the word? Unrighteousness, non-righteousness, anti-righteousness, wrath and indignation. But those who are selfish, ambitious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. There are people in this world, their goal this week is to do everything unrighteous. The world wants to do everything unrighteous. And you know what else the problem is? Your sin nature wants to do what? Unrighteousness. Your sin nature wants you to do unrighteousness. By the way, who is the one person that will be happy if you do more sinful things this week than righteousness? His name is Satan, the devil, the dragon. He wants you to do more sinful things this week than righteousness. So you have the world going against you. Culture will go against you. Everything will go against you in this world. The government will go against you. Your neighborhood will go against you. Your city will go against you. Your block will go against you. They want to do the unrighteous thing. Your sin nature wants to do the unrighteous thing. Satan wants you to do the unrighteous thing. You're living with a bunch of selfish sinners. And they want to do the unrighteous thing. But your purpose in your life, being a believer in Jesus Christ, is a believer is called to a life of righteousness. A believer is called to a life of righteousness. 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 So tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll have two choices. You can follow your sin nature, you can follow Satan, you can follow the world and do something unrighteous. Or you can do what the Holy Spirit, what God the Father and God the Son want you to do, saved you for, died on the cross for, predestined you, justified you, sanctified you, glorified you, indwelt you, intercedes for you, so that you will do the righteous thing. Do you understand the point here? The world, your own sin nature, Satan is working against you. He wants you to not do the righteous thing. He will try to put you in situations so that you do the easy, sinful thing. He will want you to do the easy, sinful thing because the hard thing to do would be the righteous thing. So, your purpose this week is to perform righteous acts. Why? Because you're a slave to righteousness. Your job, your goal, your purpose, your reason for getting up tomorrow will be to see how many righteous things you can do in the day. You go to sleep tomorrow night. You do not think about how much money you earned that day. You will not think about how great the day off was. You will not think about how good the golf course was. You will not think about any of those things. You will think about what you did righteous that day. And if you look back on your day and you say, boy, I did 58% righteous things, God must be really happy. By the way, if you had a slave and he only did 58% of what you said to do, would you be happy with that slave? Oh, I'm sorry. That may be too personal. I may be stepping on your toes. I am so sorry. God wants us, all of us, to do the righteous thing tomorrow. Anything less than righteousness is unacceptable to us. We want righteousness. We want righteous perfection tomorrow. We will not be satisfied with anything less. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, if our job is to do the righteous thing, what is the difference between me a believer and the world and the flesh and the devil. My sin nature, what's the difference? What's going on? What makes me different than the world? What makes me different than Satan? What makes me different than my sin nature? What makes me different? Verse 35. Verse 35 should be underlined in your Bible already. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, we could end the sermon right now and you'd go home saying it's the greatest sermon I've ever heard. Yes, you would. What will separate us from the love of Christ? The world wants you to be separated from the love of Christ. The sin nature you have still in you wants you to be separated from the love of Christ. The demon, the Satan, the devil, and all his evil cohorts wants you to be separated from the love of Christ. And notice what the Bible says. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. If you go through this week, you have to understand, in order for you to do the righteous thing, you have to remember who loves you. Who loves you? Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. He loves you, He loves you. And He wants you to do the righteous thing. Let's put it this way. Number one, what's the difference between a believer and the world, the flesh, and the devil? Number one, the believer has experienced the love of Jesus Christ. The believer has experienced the love of Jesus Christ. If you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ, what that means is you've been touched by grace and the mercy of God, and you have been saved. At a point in your history, in your life, you can look back on a time where you heard the gospel message and you turned, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, and were saved. You, from that day forward, lived in the love of Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything to step outside the love of Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything. You cannot go through any event, any situation to lose that love, because nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. You have been saved because you've experienced that love. And every believer you meet this week who's trying to do the righteous thing along with you has experienced the love of Jesus Christ. And any person that has not experienced the love of Jesus Christ is trying to do the unrighteous thing. Who will separate you? I like that. He gives personhood to all these things he's going to list. Tribulation, distress, peril, nakedness. He gives a personhood to it. There's no person that can separate you from the love of Christ. There is no event that can separate you from the love of Christ. There's nothing, nothing, nothing that can happen to you this week. You can have an earthquake or tornado, a typhoon, a tidal wave. You can have cancer, heart attack, whatever it is, and it will not separate you from the love of Jesus Christ this week. You can get fired. You can get laid off. You can get a promotion. And nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ, He has shown to those who have been saved. Any event in your life this week cannot stop Jesus Christ from loving you. The love of Jesus Christ will never be rejected, will never reject a believer based upon an event. It doesn't matter what happens to you this week, Jesus Christ will still love you. If we're talking about the context of Romans chapter 8, put it this way. Jesus Christ has, out of his love, done the work of salvation for you, so that God the Father could foreknow you, so that God the Father can predestine you, so God the Father can effectively call you, so God the Father can justify you and glorify you, so that you are elect by God the Father, and guess what? Jesus Christ intercedes for you. All of that is based upon the love that Jesus Christ has for you. Because Jesus Christ loves you, you have all those things, and the only thing he wants you to do this week is the righteous thing. Because he made you a slave to righteousness. The love of Jesus Christ is connected to the sinner being connected to the grace of God. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding daily so that you could handle the hardships of your day, the events of your day, the problems of your day, the good things of your day, so you cannot be separated from the love of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For the love of Christ controls us." The love of Christ controls us. But guess what? This week will not be easy. Because there's going to be an attack coming. What are the ways that an unrighteous world reacts to a righteous believer? What are ways that an unrighteous world acts towards a believer? The end of verse 35. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What are the ways that an unrighteous world reacts to a righteous believer? Guess what happens? Guess what? Here you go. I predict for you this week. Internal and external suffering, hardships, problems. External and internal suffering, problems, hardships, trials, tribulations, perils, distress, persecution. External and internal. From your emotions to your actions. Tribulations. You know what the tribulation means? It means to be squeezed. Having two objects pushing on you, squeezing you. It was used to talk about olives and being squeezed olives so that you produce oil. You go through tribulation. Sometimes you feel like your life, you're in the middle of two giant hands squeezing you. That's a tribulation. The word primarily talks about outward actions that push you, squeeze you. I was at a church one time, and I had like 5-6 young guys that were going through hardships. You know what I told them? I told them, be of good cheer, because I think God is getting you ready to be an elder in this church. Because that's exactly what God was doing. Getting them ready to be elders. Tribulations come from external causes. Or distress. Distress is an interesting word. It talks about strict confinement. Being helplessly hemmed in. Affliction arises from internal causes. Internal causes. So tribulations push you from the outside. And distress pushes you from the inside. Both external and internal suffering. Persecution, being pursued by an enemy. Famine, being hungry. Losing a job or losing the farm that produces your food. Nakedness, a lack of clothing, which one person flees from their house with. Maybe a believer who's at the end of his rope and doesn't have enough money to put on a new piece of clothes. Peril, danger of any kind. The believer is caught in a situation that can only bring him harm. Or sword. Sword's an interesting word. It's an interesting word. It's talking about a dagger. And in that day and age, the way you would die by the state is with a sword. Maybe talking about the government attacking you, putting you to death. Symbol of death. Putting you to death by the sword. Or verse 36. For just as it's written, for your sake, we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's written, Paul's quoting Psalm 44, verse 22. In the Old Testament, it's talking about Israel. Israel suffering, military loss, when they're trying to do the righteous thing. They're doing the righteous thing, and they're suffering. Guess what? This week, when you try to do the righteous thing, it quite possibly will mean you will suffer for doing the righteous thing. Why? Because the world is unrighteous, your sin nature is unrighteous, and Satan's unrighteous. They want to do the unrighteous thing. You are called by God to do the righteous thing. I see nothing but problems ahead of you. Second prediction, I'll be right this week. If you do the righteous thing this week, you'll have more problems than last week when you didn't do the righteous thing. But God wants you to do the righteous thing. Psalm 44 teaches Israel being faithful to God is more important than the suffering for righteousness. For your sake, while the love is sure, troubles come to a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus will always love you. Nothing will separate you from that love. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a promise. You try to do the righteous thing today, tonight, tomorrow, you will get persecuted. We are being put to death. God may do work in your lives so that you die this week. But that death will not separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Or you may say, it's like I'm dying all day long. A constant time and nothing but hardships. After hardship, after hardship, after hardship. No time off from the hardship. We're considered as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, everybody looks at you like you deserve to die. Judgment's made by the non-believer. You deserve death as a punishment. Aorist passive is interesting. So it could be translated, we are being killed all day long. You write in your Bibles, see verse 37. Underline the word but. You have hardships whenever you try to do the righteous thing. But, in all these things. Did you hear me? All these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. This is talking about the victory. What will happen with the believer? Believers battle with unrighteousness. You're going to battle with unrighteousness this week. You're going to do the righteous thing. You're going to get in a battle. You're going to get in the battle. What's going to happen? How are you going to win the battle? What's going to happen? Are you going to lose? Are you going to win? What are you going to do? Guess what? The believer that follows Jesus Christ will win. No period, no comma, exclamation point. You win. You win. You win. You win. You win. All these things, any possible event that could happen tomorrow, if you sat down and you took your journal and you wrote this afternoon of all the things that could happen to you tomorrow, all of them, you win. All of them, you win. You win because you're loved by Jesus Christ. You win. You win. You win. Overwhelmingly conquer. That's one Greek word. English can't explain it well. If we did, it would sound like a Dr. Seuss book. That's what it would sound like. You know how he uses weird words to communicate? That's exactly what we'd have in our Bible, trying to communicate this Greek word. It means by winning overwhelmingly. It is a wipeout. It's not close. I went to a Douglas baseball game this week, and Douglas won in the bottom of the eighth inning. They came back and won 14-13. It was a nail biter. I thought we were going to lose. It was a great game. But your game this week, trying to do the righteous thing, is boring. You're going to win by a mile. It's not going to be close. The scoreboard won't be able to add up your total score. You will win. You'll do it. Okay. Pick six guys in this room. Let's make them fathers. Six fathers in this room. Put them on one side. Put their children at the age of two on the other side of the net. Give them a volleyball and make them play against each other. Who's going to win? Okay, can you see the fathers? They get the serve, nice bump. They move it to the setter. The setter puts this nice 15-foot set up there. Father comes up. He jumps up high. By the way, the net is down here. And he jumps up high, and he smashes that ball down right off the face of a two-year-old. That's an overwhelmingly conqueror. That is no game at it. It's not even easy. It's too easy. It is game over. You go out and do the righteous thing this week, you will win. You don't believe me, but you will win. The world will be against you, but you will win. Satan will be against you, but you will win. Your sin nature will be against you, but you will win. Like playing against a two-year-old. Keep on winning. A blessed victory by the love of Jesus Christ. Here's another definition I got from a pastor. Are winning a sweeping victory through the one who loved us, Jesus Christ. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. Because the love of Jesus Christ is stronger than anything you're going to face tomorrow. And once you go through the experience of the suffering or hardship, guess what? You will see God's love better. And you will think that God loves you more afterwards. But it will just be God can't love you more. But after you go through the hardship, the trial, the tribulation, the peril, the suffering, the persecution, the tribulation, the distress, whatever you go through this week trying to do the righteous thing, you'll come through it and you'll love the love of God more. And you will think God loves me more. It'll feel that way. But it won't be, because God loves you completely. The victory is not ascribed to the power and strength of the believers, but it's ascribed to the love of Jesus Christ. Because he loves you, you will win. He loves you, you will win. He loves you, you will win. Why? Good question. Why? Because, forgot I had a long answer for you. Got away with short ones. Save your hand until now. Why? Because the believer wins because of the work of Jesus Christ that was done for the believer, because Jesus Christ loved you. I put it present tense on the screen. Change it. Put loved. Loved. Because he loved you. Because that's what the verse says. Through him who loved us. Loved us. Aorist tense, point in time. Talking about an event in the past. He loved you in the past. When did he love you in the past? He loved you in the past when he went to the cross, took upon himself your sins, and died. At that point, he loved you. God demonstrated his love through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ demonstrated his love to you in that act. Because of that act, you're loved. Through him. Not by your strength or power or smarts, but by the might of your Savior, Jesus Christ. He loved you, not loves you, loved you. Aorist tense. Victory over hardship is guaranteed to the believer because Jesus Christ loved you on the cross. Here you go. Will I realize how important it is that I do righteous actions this week, today? In spite of the attempts of the world, the flesh, and the devil to discourage me and to get me to enjoy sin. That's what your sin nature is trying to do. That's what Satan's trying to do. That's what the world's trying to do. It's trying to get you to enjoy sin. But you know your job. Your job is to do the righteous thing this week. The love of Jesus Christ will get the believer through all hardships. Through all hardships. You will make it. 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 Reverend Harold Volke. Volke. Harold Volke. He was a pastor. He went to Korea as a missionary. Then, guess what happened when he went to Korea as a missionary? The Korean War started. The U.S. Army picked him up, made a chaplain out of him. They put him with prisoners of war. He went to tens of thousands of Korean prisoners, and he acted like a chaplain, acted like a pastor, acted like a missionary, and witnessed to them. Ask me how he witnessed to them. He went to a military camp with 10,000 Koreans. You can't go around to each individual Korean, can you? He went to the sections of the Korean prisoner camp. He went to one section, and he spent an hour with that one section. And that during that 1 hour, he tried to teach them a Korean song. It didn't come across very well in Korean. It didn't work very well with the music, but he tried to teach them a song. He tried to teach them a song, and then he met with them for an hour and then went to another section and tried to teach them a song. And then he went to another section, tried to teach them a song. And guess what the song was? Jesus loves me. In Korean. I can't sing it for you. I don't know how it sounds, but that's what he tried to do. He tried to communicate to them that Jesus loves them. And guess what happens? They came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He had a revival in those prison camps. He had people waiting for him. When they got out of the prison camp and were able to go back to Korea, they didn't want to go back to Korea because they were Christians. They didn't want to go back to communism. There were thousands and thousands of Koreans the pastor led to the Lord because he emphasized Jesus loves you. Hey, guess what? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I got more amens the first time. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a cue, and you're going to say something that will encourage me. Okay? Listen. Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. There's no event that can happen tomorrow that will keep Jesus from loving you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that the events can do. There's nothing your sin nature can do. There's nothing Satan can do. There's nothing this world can do. The worst they can do to you is kill you tomorrow. And that will be a promotion. Do the righteous thing. That's your job. That's what you're doing. Do it. And God will be glorified. And you will be found faithful doing your job. Don't listen to your sin nature that says sin is fun. Father, thank you for this time in your word. I pray, Father, you keep us away from sin. And help us, Father, to be committed to doing the righteous act we need to be doing. I pray, Father, for the non-believers we come in contact with tomorrow, that they will see the righteousness we do and hear the righteous words we explain to them and talk to them with. And I pray, Father, that we would have an impact upon them, that one thing we communicate to them is Jesus loves them, just like Jesus loves us. And Father, try to get to them to the point to where they'll repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. I pray, Father, you'd work through us and our righteous actions tomorrow for your glory and honor. I pray, Father, you work through our lives, no matter what event happens, but that you would be glorified and praised. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your Son's love. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit's intercession. Help us, Father, remember that we got the Godhead on our side. And nothing can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.